Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from 1 John, chapter 1, verses 5 to chapter 2, verse 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And another verse from Numbers, chapter 32, verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out.
Thank you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for being gracious, compassionate, but just God. Lord, please speak to us this morning. Clear my thoughts. Purify my lips, and may my words come from you and not from myself or my wisdom, which I don't have without you. In your blessed name I pray, amen. If I were to ask you this morning, has any one of you has not made any mistakes? Christine would say, I have never made any mistakes. You wouldn't say that. Maybe a little baby that was born to Veronique. You know the young lady who started coming to our church, she had a baby couple of days ago. Maybe she is without any mistakes yet, because she is only a few days. Okay, maybe he has not made any mistakes this far, but he will make mistakes. You have made mistakes, and certainly I made many mistakes in my life. Have we learned from our mistakes? I don't know. I hope so. But yesterday, last night, I was talking to a pastor. And he said, what's your message? And I told him what my message was about. He says, that's interesting. Because, he said, just a couple of days ago, I was just sitting there and thinking, and all of a sudden, a sin came into my mind. I said, a sin? He said, yeah, I was 6th, 7th grade in school, and I made a racist remark, and I had a racist thought, and I just moved away from my classmate, and he said, and I forgot all about it until a few days ago. I was sitting there, and I realized how terrible that was, and I asked God to forgive me. I said, after 60-some years, you ask God to forgive? He says, yeah, because all of a sudden, I felt guilty for that. And he said, my sin had found me. Now, obviously, that sin was not sin, it wouldn't be considered sin today or even then, because as a child he had his own understanding of things or misunderstanding. Everyone makes mistakes. You and I have made mistakes. Some mistakes may be not serious, and all they cause is a laughter. Sometimes my wife will call someone with the wrong name and she will be the one to laugh on herself, and then she'll think it's funny, and it's funny because we make mistakes. But that's all that mistake did, just brought up a laughter. And then there are mistakes that are serious and may cause serious problems and even death. Someone steps out to go and pick up a Pepsi. And he's about to cross the street and he is not careful and makes a mistake and steps in front of a car and he loses his leg. That mistake, that little mistake, cost him his leg and cannot be fixed anymore. So some mistakes may be small, but there is a high price that we pay. But the greatest mistake is thinking that we can get away with sin. We cannot sin and win. In Numbers 32:23, we read, "You may be sure that your sin will find you out." Now, for about 3 weeks, I've been watching. I have a channel, television channel from Europe, and I watch the European news every night for maybe 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. And for the past 3 weeks, there's something that has created a lot of turmoil in Greece. An official from the government jumped off his balcony, fourth floor balcony, to commit suicide. He wasn't able to kill himself, but he was able to put himself into a coma. So now he is in a hospital. And people thought, well, maybe it was something little or something very serious that pushed him over the cliff. Well, the following day, all kinds of news came out. This gentleman in his 60s was having an affair at the office with another young lady, with a young lady in her 30s, and there were some videos made in compromising situations. And then when he realized that DVD was there, he said, "I'm paying for my sin," and jumped over the balcony. Now, because of that, one of his drivers who knew a lot of stuff, he jumped in front of another car, of a car, to kill himself, and he didn't succeed to die also. And there was a chain reaction, and now everything is coming out, and this man, I'm sure he doesn't want to wake up from his coma, because the entire country knows all about him and knows all about the things he had done. Well, he got away with that for a while. Now, what am I doing this morning here? Am I here to give you a guilt trip or just take the joy out of your life? No. All I'm saying is your past is your past. You made mistakes. But let's not continue making mistakes, or let's not encourage our children or family members or members of the church or Christians by saying, well, God understands. God is loving God. Well, God understands. That's the problem. God understands our mind and heart and the motives. When you make a mistake, God doesn't kill you because you made a mistake. But if you continue in sin, then that sin may lead you into death. You heard what happened to a French bank. This young man of 32, I believe 31, 32, he was able to manipulate the bank up to 7.2 or $7.19 billion. He probably thought they will never find out, but they did. Mind you got to give him credit for a 31-year-old man to be able to do that. It takes a lot of brains, but he couldn't hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. On this earth, let alone with God. What is sin? The World Book Dictionary says this, and I am quoting, breaking of the law of God on purpose. This is not the Bible saying it or a Christian book, it's the dictionary or the encyclopedia says, breaking of the law of God on purpose. Violating of any rule or standard is a sin. So that means that when you're breaking the law, when I was going 111 miles per hour on a zone that says 100, I was breaking the law. And when I break the law, actually it's a sin because I'm disobeying the laws. But that may not cost me a penny when I'm not caught, but when I'm caught, the lady that came for the magazine, Ethel what? Roundtree. She came from, she drove 7 hours to come to Montreal to meet with Anne Margaret, and when she came, she says, guess what? When I was entering Quebec, where I had just entered Quebec, the police stopped me and said, you are going 129 miles per kilometers per hour, and so they gave me a ticket of $100 and some dollars, $150 minus 2 demerit points. Now, that's not so bad, but it's bad. Now, if she hadn't been caught, there was no problem. But eventually, your sin will catch up with you. Sin will affect our fellowship with God to start with. We are created for fellowship with God. In the Garden of Eden, we see Adam and Eve walking and talking with God. But sin broke that fellowship with God. Sin affects everyone, especially the true believers. In 1 John, sin is mentioned 27 times in the Greek original. 1 John, the word sin is mentioned 27 times. And today in the church is never mentioned. Churches today don't deal with sin. They do it, but they don't mention it. A lot of people in the church, in our families, in our society today have learned how to break the law and get away with it. But you cannot break God's law and get away with it. Sin brings anxiety and lack of assurance. King David wrote, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Sin robs us of the joy of the joy of the Lord. Actually, in Psalm 51, we read, let's listen to what David said once. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Sin keeps our prayers from being answered, actually. King David speaks from his own experience, and when he prays from his heart, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Sin is so serious that it took the death of Christ to bring forgiveness and atonement to the human race. Jesus, the Son of God, had to die to pay the price for my sins and your sins. Nothing else would do. You and I must always remember the seriousness of sin and its consequences when tempted. Now, as I said, I'm here this morning because things have happened. And messages, I've received phone calls, I should say, that dealt with sin. How can we deal with sin? Is that in the Bible? Or will God judge me? Will I die? Will I go to hell because of this? And there are all kinds of questions, and you know what? Very few answers are being given these days. Now, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, for sure. But it doesn't say that when we sin, we die right away. It has happened before that there was an instant punishment given. When you remember Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God. They died right away. But God is patient and loving and long-suffering. God will let you get away with some things for a long time, maybe. But eventually, you will have to give an account. And as our brother said, my brother that I was talking to him said, after 60 years, he said, God brought into my mind, or at least he remembered something and he had to deal with that. And I believe that if you have sinned in the past, and if you are in sin today, there is great hope. And there are great assurances given by God that your sins will be forgiven. Your sins will be washed away and you will be given a brand new beginning, a brand new page to now continue your life as a believer that has been forgiven and justified just as if you have never sinned before. So the message this morning is not to condemn you, but to encourage you, and then to encourage you to not sin. Sin will affect others too. For none of us, and I'm quoting from Romans 14:7, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. We never reap the consequences of sin alone. Our loved ones suffer because of our sins too. And I'm sure every one of us knows or has heard or has lived in a family situation where the father is a drunkard or uses drugs and the family is affected, where the mother is doing something that is illegal and sinful and the rest of the family is affected, where the son or the daughter or daughters or sons doing something and the entire family is affected. There are situations where someone does something and the entire family or the entire country is affected. So when we sin, we don't always, there are sometimes that only harm ourselves, but often the entire family is affected too. The sins of Adam and Eve affected the whole of their those who followed them. David's sin caused his child's death in 2 Samuel 12:14. You remember, he had a child out of wedlock. He slept with his neighbor's wife, and then she was pregnant, and she gave birth to a child. And then we read David, and for every sin he had done, he had to pay a price. Children are affected by the sins of their parents. Parents are affected by the sins of their children, as I said. Husbands and wives are affected by the sins of the spouse. Today, more than ever before in the human history, you have broken families. Today, more than ever before in Christian families, in Christian churches, you have single mothers and single fathers caring for their children, trying to do their best, but it's very difficult. Here you have I was going to say normal families, but then again I would get into trouble, because even when a single mother has children or a single father has children, he considers it to be normal. But the normal family or the family that God designed needed a father and a mother and the children. But when one of the parents is gone, then that family suffers. And so the sins of human beings or individuals affect the entire family. Sin may affect you physically too. Sin may affect you physically. 1 Corinthians 11:30. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. That's because of sin. Some of the believers at Corinth were sick and some died because of sin. Many acts of sin carry their own judgment. What we sow, we reap. Galatians 6:7-8 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." The result of living and practicing sin is death. 6:23, Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is not a negative statement. When it says the wages of sin is death, it's not saying you're dying, you're dead because you've sinned, but it's saying, if you follow that verse, says, "For the wages in sin is not, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." He has a gift ready to give to everyone who is under the pressure, under the load, under the conviction of sin, that you can be forgiven and a brand new life can start from right now. Unbelievers will face their sin in judgment. In Hebrews 9:27 says, "Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment." Well, first, what sin will affect others. Second, sin may affect you physically. Third, now the good news is, which is the good news, that sin can be forgiven. Jesus died for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 15:3 we read, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Then Jesus did not die because he just wanted to become a martyr. Jesus didn't die because he wanted to set a good example. Jesus didn't die because he wanted to impress his creation. Jesus died because of sin. And the only way that sin could have been paid, the only way we would find atonement or forgiveness would be by someone without sin to die and pay the price. And Jesus is the only one who had no sin, who died for us. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, we read, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with the another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." When we receive Christ by faith, our sins are forgiven and we are justified. In Romans 5:1 we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This morning in our adult class we were talking about children, what is happening to our children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters, and whose fault is it, and how can we change this. And actually we shared our thoughts, and we came to the point to say that it actually a little child is only a child. A child born 5,000 years ago and a child born today is the same material. The same Spirit of God exists, or that small light or the breath of God is in there. Now, how that child is brought up makes the difference in that child's life. You take any child and bring that child to a healthy environment, a Christian environment, where the family prays together and goes to church, or at least that child is taught about values and discipline, if you wish, that child will be formed and encouraged to become a good person. Now, if you take another child and bring him to another situation where there is no respect, no love, no compassion, no God, nothing spiritual, nothing of any value, that child will become just like the people that is surrounded by. So we as believers have a responsibility, a great responsibility, to educate our children, to help our children know what is right and what is wrong, not only by talking to them and teaching them, but by living and becoming the best examples they have in this corrupt world. Our children need role models. Our children need people that they trust. Our children need people who love them, truly love them, not only use their children or provide to their children monetary things, but give them their time and their love. So, when all that has been done, and the child is able to discern and to know what is right and what is wrong, and make his or her decision, and there is more good news. Believers can live in victory. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life, and have it to the full." But to be able to have victory over sin and live a peaceful and full life, we must confess our sins to God and forsake them. And 1 John 5:18 we read, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin." It doesn't say does not sin, because we will sin. I may look the wrong way to a brother or sister. I may say something bad to my sister and hurt her feelings. I may, in a weak moment, tell a lie or whatever. It's not talking about that. It says, does not continue to sin. To continue in sin is what destroys our faith, if you wish, or our testimony. Yes, true confession involves forsaking of sins. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes, renounces them, finds mercy. We read in Psalm 28:13. When we do that, confess our sins, God will forgive us and give us victory. In 1 Corinthians 15 we read, "But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, if nothing else, what I have learned by looking at this message and preparing the message and even sharing it with you is, because I know that I live in the flesh, as many people say, "Well, what do you want me to do? I'm a human being, I live in the flesh." That is why I must set up myself to sin. A lot of times we create situations in our life where we are tempted, and because someone said, the flesh is the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes it's the other way around. The flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak, and so we fall into temptation, and we give in to temptation, and then the devil puts his little foot in there, and then he moves into the tent. The saying goes, when you allow the camel to put his head first, then he moves in and you move out. That's how it is with sin. So let's just be very careful, and let's not forget that the Holy Spirit is in us and with us, and He will convict us. He will give us the spirit of discernment to discern what is right and what is wrong, and also He will give us victory over sin if we focus on Jesus and put God first in our daily life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for being such a loving and compassionate and patient God. Forgive us, Lord, this morning. I believe that every one of us has something to confess to you and ask for forgiveness. Please, Lord, give us strength. Give us the courage to be able to confess our sins to you and ask for forgiveness, and then give us the strength to be able to live lives that are pleasing to you. In your blessed name I pray, amen.